Welcome to the Got Your Six podcast. This podcast brings together current service members and veteran high performers to share their methods, strategies, and ideas delivered in an informative and, most importantly, actionable way that'll help you lead yourself and those around you from the battlefield to the boardroom. Coming to you every episode, I'm your host, Tony Nash, and into the breach.
Nothing mentioned on this podcast is an endorsement or opinion of the Department of Defense.
I got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. I got your six.
Sixers, normally I would kick off an episode and I say, this is going to be an absolute treat, or what a treat we have today. But today's episode's a little bit different. Today's episode's going to be an experience. We're talking to one of Maryland's finest. I think he started the first underground creepy crawler business back in the third grade, going on to many other entrepreneurial endeavors, and the co-founder of Hunt a Killer. We're going to dive all into it. Ryan Hogan, thank you so much for coming on the Got Your Six podcast.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Tony. Appreciate it.
So like we talked about before the episode started, is as you continue to grow and scale at any point in your life, you're going to find people that you have to kind of break away from. That's never an easy thing to do. How have you been able to kind of come back and make sure your foundation is still solid while kind of having to either like fire friends or grow, you know, while you're in the Navy or going back to school? Can you kind of talk us through that?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things there. So the first is the name of the game. It doesn't matter whether you're in the military. It doesn't matter whether you're an entrepreneur. The name of the game is the team or the people that you have around you. And ensuring that they understand the mission, they have clarity over what their role is, what they're responsible for. And when all that aligns and everybody's marching in the same direction, like magic happens. But the reality of that is during that journey, what you will find, and especially on the civilian side. So I've encountered this much more as an entrepreneur than I have in the military, because the military is all very structured and there's an instruction and there's guidance and there's all these things that kind of help you grow into this role. There's training. In entrepreneurship, it's dog eat dog. Like everybody is just figuring it out at the same time. And what you'll find a lot is as you continue to grow, you need different skill sets, you need different experiences, you need different perspectives on the problems that you're solving. And so you'll find yourself quite often reevaluating. We run under a structure called the Entrepreneurial Operating System, EOS, and that has us reevaluate the core functions of the business and the team and right person, right seat every single quarter. And every single 12 months, we're making critical decisions based upon the foundation, who is that senior leadership team. And ensuring that you've got the right people is important. And when those times come where there need to be tweaks or adjustments, what's most important is that you invested in that relationship, that you helped that person grow far beyond what they've helped the company. Like, you know, when I think about what I do here at Hunt a Killer, sure, it's thinking about what's next and strategy and things like that. But really, it's about investing in the people and in making sure that we're doing what we said we're going to do. And typically, what you'll find is that if you've got the right people in the right seat, and you've invested in that person, and you've built and nurtured that relationship over time in a very authentic and genuine way, it pays dividends for when some of those adjustments or hard conversations have to come. And so that's really where I focus a lot of my time, is on the people. That's been a little challenging over the last 9 months, floating around the Mediterranean, but that's the secret.
You're still in the U.S. Navy Reserves. You were on active duty for a while, but you came into the Navy right out of high school, and then you got your marketing degree. How has that been, first being on the civilian side, having that work experience, then coming in to have to build a team inside of the Navy?
What's interesting is I joined very young. So my mom signed my permission slip. I was 17 years old when I enlisted. And I got picked up for a special program in 2009 with the Navy called the Seaman to Admiral program. It's an enlisted commissioning. Basically, the Navy pays for you to go to any school you want to go to as long as it has an NROTC unit. And so I got off to a very late start, like you're talking about. I started college at 25, 26, gosh, maybe even 27. So I'm like 10 years ahead of everybody. I've got 10 years of being a helicopter air crewman under my belt, doing real world missions. And then here I am right back in the seat, you know, going through the Robert H. Smith School of Business. And I've got a full family. I'm still active duty and I've got all that time. And that was an interesting experience, because you know, I had more gratitude for the opportunity. If I would have went to college at 17 or 18, I probably would have flunked out because I just didn't appreciate it. And so the fact that I got, you know, 10 years of real world experience, it really made me appreciate and be thankful for the opportunity. And so I took it very seriously. It's not to say I got straight A's. I'm not a straight A guy, but certainly I put in a lot of time and effort into that milestone.
With that, right? Because at the same time in 2013, as you were graduating and getting your bachelor's degree, you were on his rocket with Derek, who is your co-founder now at Hunter Killer, with the zombie racing. Like, if you remember back in the day for our audiences, there used to be those Facebook ads you'd see in like 2013 of, hey, you can go do a 5K run with zombies. That's Ryan and Derek. And we ultimately know how it ended, but how did you kind of continue to do one thing and kind of move to the next and be focused? Or was it all just kind of together and it was a whirlwind?
Yeah. One of the big misnomers in either entrepreneurship or when I was active duty, so I was active duty Navy, going to school full time. I lived about an hour away from campus at the time with my wife and three kids. Now we have four. And then was also running Run For Your Lives, which was the first ever 5 kilometer obstacle course race where people donned a flag football belt and then ran away from zombies for 5 kilometers. And like what I've learned is that there is no secret. You know, the name of the game with me has always been delegation. And so making sure that you've got the right people around you and getting things off your plate as quickly as possible. And there's a couple of strategies that I've used in the past. I mean, today it's just a matter of understanding, like, can this really impact or change the business? If not, it probably should be on someone else's plate. But there's also mechanics you can use out there where you write down everything you do for a week and write down a value associated with that time. What would that be on an hourly basis? So if you spent 4 hours, you know, parsing through email and doing calendar invites, but you understand that you add $10,000 an hour to the business, then you should probably hire somebody, because you can hire somebody to do those $10, $15, $20 an hour jobs and you can focus on the big picture. And so the secret is there is no secret. And, you know, for me, something has always kind of been off balance. And it's just kind of where those fires, and it's a constant juggling act. And so I'm not very good at it. You know, I'm still learning each day, but the big way that that we were able to get through then and now is just through delegating things that shouldn't be on your plate and getting rid of them as quickly as possible.
And there's another key point too that you talk in there is being able to like ask for assistance or say, hey, I need help doing this task because I need to focus my priorities elsewhere. Have you ever had to go through like an ego check where you put in barriers, or is it just like you said, figuring out how much time this is worth to me versus another task?
What I have seen, both in the military, but a lot in business, is like ego kills. Like ego will kill a team. Ego will kill an individual. Ego will kill performance. When someone is putting themselves over the betterment of either the operation or mission, or over top of what the company's trying to accomplish, there is always issues at the end of that. So like one thing about me is like, one, I'm never the smartest person in the room. You know, what I like to do is find incredible people that know whatever it is we need, that know it 10 times, because if they don't, then I could do it. So then why would I hire for that? And so like, I'm never the smartest person in the room. We hire brilliant people that have skill sets, whether it's creative or marketing or operations, that are years beyond, decades beyond where I am as an individual. And I make that known. And so I think one of the things that probably my team appreciates is I don't have ego. I don't go into a room with the brightest idea or saying, this is what we're going to do. I go into a room asking a question of what is the best thing we should do? And we have a conversation about it. And then we decide. And once we decide, we're all in. And so it's not consensus. Not everybody agrees on the direction. But once we feel confident in the decision that we've made, we're all on that train and we're going to see it through.
When you were able to come back with Hunt to Killer, you rented out the space, you spent a year putting it all together and realized this isn't really worth our time based on the value we're getting back from a financial standpoint.
Just for a little bit of background, when Hunt to Killer was a live event, we transformed a 200-acre campground into a living crime scene. And the biggest issue that we had is when you look at Run For Your Lives, we could put 10, 15, 20,000 people through a course in any weekend. So that's anywhere from $600 to $2 million in revenues. With this event, we could only get 600 people activated at one time. You can't have, you know, thousands of people standing around an open crime scene. And so the biggest challenge that we had there was the concept just didn't scale. And so for us, it was all about like, well, what can scale and how can we pivot the company into a scalable model? And so for us, we looked across and we said, we got product market fit. What other business model can we put this experience? Because at the heart of what we do, it's an experience. It's bringing people together, whether we do it on a 200-acre campground or whether we do it in the comfort of your own homes. And so we looked at different business models. The subscription business model was blowing up. There was a whole bunch of infrastructure softwares that you could just easily bolt on. And so we said, this is it. We're going to go after this. But what was really interesting is like nobody was doing this. And so we were trying to take this experience and this story that we built in a gamification that was in real life and be able to deliver these through materials, paper, writing, you know, actual trinkets inside of each box to make sure that we're leading people on an investigation. And so when you're doing something you don't know, like you have your own ideas, but the reality is it what only matters is what the customer thinks or what our detectives think. And so we started this group originally just to get a group of people together that we could say, hey, is this great or does it suck? And that's kind of how we built that trust in the beginning, is because when they told us it sucked, we listened, we smiled. Because we want you to tell us what's bad so that we can go and fix it. And like we were talking about earlier, you know, the boxes that are sitting on the shelves of Targets and Walmarts and Barnes and Nobles, like those are thousands of iterations over 6 years that started at this episodic subscription and now has been honed into this, you know, incredible mass market experience. So, you know, for us, it was luck. We did it in the beginning just to be able to get people and get the feedback, because what we were doing was so new and unique. But once we understood that, like, people kept joining and people wanted to have their own conversations and talk about things, we invested everything and nurtured the shit out of it.
What I found doing the podcast, talking to other Sixers, is whenever there's mention of luck, there's always a mention of a ton of iteration that has gone into it. How have you seen that evolve the creative side of it? Whether it be marketing, writing, game theory of the game as it continues to evolve?
Gosh, like so many things. I guess starting with the feedback loop. So like we have this feedback loop that like starts with focus groups, that goes into the community, that goes into just if we have your email address and we know that you purchased something, like we'll ask you very specific questions. And all of these things go back to the creative team where we sit and ponder like how do we address these things that people say they love and what people say they don't love. So for us, it's all about doubling down on what they do love and stopping or eliminating what they don't. And, you know, I think a big thing for us, especially in the beginning, from a product standpoint, is it was challenging. There were no instructions. Like we just sent you a box of stuff and just said, go. You know, today, if you were to join the subscription, you would get a box. The first box would have instructions. It would have this pamphlet in it that is from the actual person that's asking you for help, giving you a full background on the story. But in the beginning, it was a completely different market. These were true crime diehards. They didn't want to be told what to do. That just send me my evidence and I'll tell you who did it. And that's not mass market. So like, as we've gotten further and further away from that bullseye and more into mass market, like, mass market just wants a fun experience. Like no, they don't want to crack a cipher for 3.5 hours.
They're not looking for the Da Vinci Code every time they open a box. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's completely different. And so like, you know, what have we done? We've eliminated ciphers from certain experiences. We've made it easier. We've added instructions. Just a lot of these things that appeal more to mass market, with the whole notion of like, our job is not to stump the detective. Our job is for them to have a great experience with the people that they're around. And so that's always top of mind. Very similar with marketing. Marketing, we started with a very niche audience, and it was all about like, do you have what it takes? And like very, very like challenging and kind of almost baiting the customer, the detective, to see if they could solve the crime. Today, we highlight the experience that they're having with friends and family and what we believe or what we know that they're already doing with our experience. And so, yeah, it's incredible what this has evolved into, both product marketing, operations, obviously, but less consumer facing. But 6 years, like you wouldn't even know who we were 6 years ago if you took a look.
What are you working on now in terms of like personal growth that you're starting to see benefits in that maybe a year ago you wasn't even on your radar?
Probably a little bit more assertiveness. And so in EOS, it's about a visionary and an integrator and this like this dual role in which like there's a partnership and like one person is the hammer and the other person just kind of lives in the clouds. And I came back and took both of those roles. And like for me, integrator is kind of hard because like I'm a people person. I like to please people. I don't like telling people no or like we can't do that or like, hey, you're screwing up and we need to correct that. Those are just uncomfortable conversations. And actually, weirdly, like that's something that I worked on hard during deployment and something that I'm carrying through today. Now, I've only been back for 2 weeks and I've only had one meeting or one staff meeting since I've been back. But, you know, certainly making sure that we're looking at the right things, making sure the right people on the team, you know, restructuring where we need to and having those conversations. So, you know, I would say like assertiveness or being more direct with feedback is something that that I worked on for the last 9 months.
Are there any like EOS books or anything that you've kind of seen along the way or places you point to when people ask? Because that's not something, a term that's really talked a lot about in military circles. But I think it does play a part as we all try to look to build team and culture.
Rocket Fuel is the difference between the dynamic of the visionary and the integrator. Like, highly recommend the book Traction or What the Heck is EOS? Because it really helps you think about like, set, like we do these things, especially in business school. It's like, what's the vision and what's the mission and what are the core values? And like, these are very simple things that organizations overlook because they think they're goofy or they don't mean anything. But like the organization is the brand. The people are the brand. And like, if they're not following by the core values, then like, you don't really have a strong, cohesive brand because not everybody's on the same page. So like what creative team is shipping or the products that you're creating are different than the message that you're marketing are different than like the promises that you're delivering on with the operations team. So like, it is so critical to have all of that stuff in place. And EOS, so the Traction book and some of these others, they just give you the framework in which to think about it.
Right. And the big takeaway there, right, too, is audio needs to match the visual because if there's a disconnect, whether it's a customer or with a soldier, sailor, airman, marine, you're going to lose that buy-in and all that momentum that you started to build and turning the wheel, it can quickly stop. And you don't know how to, you got to then go back and repair and take the time to invest back in those relationships.
Yeah. Like, what is it? Trust is earned in drops and lost in buckets. Like, doing what you say you're going to do and consistency. And it's not like you can be shit hot and doing the right thing for 6 months. And like, you screw up one thing or get caught in a lie or do something that's against your core values or just anything. Like, everything that you built is out the window. And so it's incredible what consistency actually means to an organization. And you talked about kind of the consistency of the messaging. Like, we just hired a new VP of marketing. She joined us in December of last year. And like, that's what she has spent the last 30, 45 days on, is really looking at like, what are the values of the organization and how are we living those values in the products that we create? And it's amazing because like, she's looking at marketing messaging that we've been putting out for the last 4 years, looking at the products that we create and saying like, there's a disconnect here and we need to figure out what that disconnect is and get it closer together. So I'm seeing it in real time and it's important.
You're going to have to own a lot of things, both successes and wins, right? You see a lot of successful leaders go back and like put it on the team, you know, and then you own the losses. What failure or loss have you owned that you've been most proud of?
Probably it goes back to, I know we're spending a lot of time on team and hiring. Jack Welch, in his book, I think it's called Winning. One of the things he talks about is like at the pinnacle, at the peak of his career, at the peak of the turnaround at GE, he said he only got hiring right 50% of the time. And like, you want to talk about competitive advantages. Being able to hire is such a competitive advantage. And like, I don't have it 50%. I don't even get it right 50% of the time. And so like, you know, for me, when we've made the wrong decision, like immediately saying we've made the wrong decision, no ego, no like, you know, this is your fault. This is, you know, how dare you? It's like, we made the wrong decision, acknowledge it, and we're going to move forward. And I've had to say things like that to the board. So when we talk about, good things, it's always we or they. So like, hey, we had an incredible quarter, or they, the marketing team did great, or the creative team just got an award for this product. But if the product didn't ship, it's, you know, I missed that. I missed the fact that we were going to have to airship this. It should have came up at a level 10 that I was leading. And so like, it's just so important that, you know, the team gets the wins, you get the losses, but that's okay, because like, you need the team, and the losses are on you, not them. You missed it.
As we wrap up, Ryan, I want to know, how today are you better than yesterday?
This is probably just going to go into like personal health. I'm a believer I'm reading this book called Day One right now. And what's really interesting is like, it's about treating every day as day one. It's about leadership and how to communicate with your team and, you know, always being on this idea that like today is going to be better than yesterday, and not some like, it's going to be better like through some magic. Like, no, you're going to solve more problems, or you're going to grow personally, or whatever the case may be. Like for me, this has nothing to do with business, but for me, it's been all about health, like health and fitness. I think during the pandemic, I'm working out of my basement right now. And this is how it's been since February, March, April 2020. And like, you know, that can create stagnation and unhealthy habits. And the deployment was so great because, you know, I got to work out, and the food, all you have to do is avoid the dessert bar, and you're eating well. So
you're solid,
you know. Yeah. So, you know, for me, it's probably the biggest thing is like getting healthy, because, you know, being strong physically, not like strong, but like, you know, pushing and challenging yourself physically, it makes your mind stronger. You can take on more stress. You can think more clearly. And like, it all just comes together. Sleep, eat, wellness, exercise, you know, all of those things are critically important.
Ryan, where can people go to connect with you and learn more about Hunt to Killer?
So hunttokiller.com, HUNTAKILLER. We're on shelves of Target, Walmart's, Barnes and Noble's, things like that. Hopefully we can get on AFEES and the Navy exchanges in the future. But most importantly, I love to connect with fellow veteran entrepreneurs. And so you can find me on LinkedIn. I think it's like / Ryan E. Hogan or something like that. But, you know, I love connecting with founders, especially when they're veteran, because like, we've got an edge over everybody, because like, we truly don't know how to give up. And I've met like some VC firms out there that only invest in veterans. And they said it was the best like niche they ever got into. So, you know, I love giving back and helping out, and happy to connect there.
Ryan, in the show notes, we'll make sure to link not only how to connect to Hunt to Killer, but also connect to you and all your book recommendations. Thank you so much for sharing your strategies, your methods, your tactics, and most importantly, thanks for having our six.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Tony. Appreciate it.
Sixers, Bruce Lee said, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." I hear that and I think of the team over at Bridgebuilt. I own a Phoenix squat rack, and it is the absolute ultimate piece of gym equipment that I have at the house. Heavy duty construction, versatile design, and the ability to fold up for limited space. Not to the wall, not to the floor. You just fold it up on wheels, move it wherever it needs to go. Head over to bridgebuilt.com and upgrade your gym today to the Phoenix squat rack. Hey Sixers, did you know the Got Your Six podcast is now streaming every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern on Wreaths Across America Radio, available on the iHeartRadio app, the Audacity app, and the TuneIn app. Just search the word Wreath. If you got something out of this, be a battle buddy. Share with a friend, pass it along. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, make sure you leave us a review and give us as many stars as you think we warrant, because we love what we do here at the Got Your Six podcast. We're always adapting and evolving this podcast because of you, the Sixers. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit that follow button. You'll never miss an episode when we drop new ones every Monday.
I don't know what you've been told, Sixers, but the lawyers would like us to remind you that the views, opinions, and comments expressed on the Got Your Six podcast are solely those of the hosts or guests, to include current and previous Department of Defense employees, and should in no way be considered the opinions of or endorsements on behalf of the Department of Defense or any of its components, divisions, contractors, or other current and previous staff members.